In 1999, Slobodan Milosevic's drive to ethnically cleanse Kosovo of all Albanians was crushed by a 78-day NATO-led bombing campaign. When it was over, nearly 1 million Kosovar Albanians returned to Kosovo, and nearly all Serbs fled the region.
Now only 30,000 Serbs remain in the heart of Kosovo. Nearly all of them are isolated in Serb enclaves that require round-the-clock protection by NATO forces. The largest of these enclaves is in the city of Mitrovica. The river Ibar divides the city into a mostly Albanian southern half and a mostly Serbian northern half. Late last year, Keith and I had a rare tour of northern Mitrovica, led by French members of NATO's Kosovo force, known as KFOR. Keith begins this exclusive report as we cross the heavily guarded Mitrovica Bridge into one of the most tension-filled spots in Europe.
We're driving through Mitrovica in the back of a KFOR Jeep, being driven by our French guide. We're along with our German KFOR press officer. Now we're passing through a checkpoint of the Kosovo Protection Corps. So we've been waved on through the final checkpoint on the southern side. The bridge is a very modern-looking bridge, flat, lights across it. Now we're out into the middle of the bridge. And there is really no other traffic. We passed one security vehicle going the other way. We just came across the northern part of the bridge. We're now in northern Mitrovica. We passed one KFOR soldier.
Here is the main street of North Mitrovica. It's Rada Petra. The name is King Peter, is the meaning in Serb.
We have a jeep following us, a French KFOR jeep with two soldiers in it.
For our first stop in northern Mitrovica, our guides took us to one of several hills overlooking the city. This one is topped by a distinctive monument.
All right, now we've reached as far as we can go in the jeep, and we're going to get out and climb a little farther up the hill, it looks like. They're very nice pine trees covering the sides of this hill. All right, we've reached the top of the hill here overlooking Mitrovica. I have a feeling that the military men are not breathing as hard as I am right now. As you can tell, there's a good breeze up here. The monument here at the top of the hill is enormous. I would say it's probably 150, 200 feet tall. The pillars start out at perhaps 100 feet in circumference and then taper down to much smaller at the top, where they're supporting what looks like what was intended to look like some kind of a mine car, and it is perhaps 150 feet wide as well. The French call this monument barbecue because it looks like a barbecue. And our guide tells us that the two pillars were to represent both the Albanians and the Serbians working together to build this country. Obviously, this was a monument built before the war.
Our guide from French KFOR is Lieutenant Gail Traheen.
You've been here a few months, but for me, when we crossed over, things didn't look all that different. It was hard to tell that you've crossed from one side to the other if you hadn't gone over the bridge. Can you see big differences in the north and the south?
We see more ruins.
More ruins?
In the north and in the south. Yes, a lot of rebuilding in the south.
A lot of rebuilding in the south, not so much in the north.
Yes, it looks like more poverty in the north and in the south.
From right where I'm standing, I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 buildings all in a row that are missing parts of their roof. Some of them you can see directly in to see that they are a shell. Our guide, Lieutenant Traheen, referred to these homes here as ruins as we come back down the hill. And no doubt they are ruins. But what most people think of as ruins are not far away. If you look up the side of the very next hill, at the top of the hill, are the remains of a Turkish castle from the 13th or 14th century. So it's obvious that this part of the world has been through an awful lot. It appears as if there are ancient ruins rising out of the modern-day ruins as you look up at the hillsides here in northern Mitrovica.
Thank you.
So after a short jeep ride, we are now in the Albanian portion of northern Mitrovica. We see a health clinic here that's been built and a school where Albanians go to school, and it's surrounded by heavy wire and fencing, and it has a locked gate. The Serbs have their own school in a parallel structure. And so right here between the Serb and Albanian neighborhoods in northern Mitrovica, there is a French company here, a French military company, about 30 who are housed right here, and their job is to provide security along this border between the neighborhoods.
They are here to secure area if there is a problem. Sometimes they provide trucks to take Albanians in the south part.
Okay.
To escort them to the south part.
We're passing by a house here that's just completely destroyed. No roof, nothing inside, merely the shell of the house is still there. Still rubble piled up inside the building. It hasn't even been cleaned out, let alone rebuilt. And there seem to be even more of those as we go through this part of Mitrovica. And then we pass by some other homes that are very neat. Rose garden by the side of this house, white brick, a very nice home. And of course, everywhere, as in the rest of Kosovo, most houses seem to have the satellite dish as well.
Our next stop, the tallest building in northern Mitrovica, an apartment complex which still shows the signs of war.
So the elevator, like most of the elevators we've seen in Kosovo, does not work. How tall is this building? How many
floors?
How tall?
I don't know, it's 10 floors.
So this is
one of the tallest.
So this is a 10-story building, and there are people living from top to bottom?
Yes. No, not the... But we're not sure. We think that maybe there are some people living on the top of the floor. But
as we go up the staircase, which is inside the building, you can see there are hoses, sometimes just basic water hoses, that have been run up outside the building and then inside these windows. We just crossed the fifth floor, and I can still see the hoses going up. Now we're about to the seventh floor, and a couple of the hoses come inside the building at this point. Also an electrical cord that's been running up all of now eight stories comes into the building. Here on the ninth floor, I see one of the last hoses come inside the building, goes across the ceiling, and then goes into a vent, disappearing into someone's apartment. And here we are at the 10th floor. Here on the stairwell, all of the windows are broken out. Yes. It's obvious that there are people living in the flats up here. The guide wasn't sure. So go to the left here. What do we see?
One of the former anti-sniper area.
Sniper or anti-sniper?
Anti-sniper from the careful places. When they could, you can come. When they could check if there were some snipers in front of some whole of the tallest buildings, there were some anti-snipers like this.
So right here we have a window, a smallish window, but it's been filled almost completely with sandbags, leaving just a tiny slit of an opening. And if you look out from this vantage point, you can see just about every spot in the city. We can easily see what is the east bridge over the river Ibar. So this spot would be an ideal spot for an anti-sniper unit to stay. So as we look out over the edge of the building here, we can just see enormous destruction, houses that are just completely destroyed. You could almost forget that there was a war in this area if you stayed in the other parts of Kosovo, in Pristina, southern Mitrovica. But here in northern Mitrovica, there's no way to forget that this area has recently gone through one of the worst wars that Europe saw in the last half of the 20th century. As I look as far as I can to my left, I see some very small, ramshackle, lean-to cottages and very, very small buildings. And I'm told that that is a camp where Roma live. People that we often call gypsies live in that camp. As I look a little farther to the right, I see some multifamily homes. large structures, actually, but homes where several families might live. And this is where we see so much destruction. There are homes that are just completely torn apart right next to homes that have been completely rebuilt. I'm looking down directly into the living rooms and kitchens and bedrooms of these homes. The roofs are gone. All of the interior is gone except for rubble just piled up. As I look farther in this direction, off in the distance, I can see that structure that the French called the barbecue, the big monument to the mine industry that's at the top of the hill that we visited just a moment ago. Seeing places like this and doing things like this, is this what you thought you would do when you joined the military?
Maybe I wasn't maybe ready to discover such misery and poverty, like in the back of Europa, you know, Occidental, you know. It's so near from France.
And sometimes I'm sure that people think that because you're in the military and they see you in your uniform, you have a weapon, that you don't have any feelings about the misery and poverty you see here.
We're working for KFOR. I'm military first, but I try to connect people with each other to provide help. It's very hard, you know. We do our best. It's common to see some people trying to find some food or some stuff in garbage. But this, the first time, it's very, very hard to bear, and after, it's begun a common picture. But it's always hard to see.
So here we're on the northern side of the river looking across to the south, and it's clearly the biggest area of destruction that I've seen since we've been in Kosovo. There are two dozen, perhaps three dozen homes, what were homes here, each one just completely destroyed. In some cases, all you see is the foundation and a pile of rubble. In other places, you may see a few walls standing next to the rubble, and in a few places, you may see the frame of the house still standing, but the rest of it is just completely gone. This is an area where nothing has been rebuilt, and our guide tells us this is where the Romas lived before the war, and they were all driven out in one night, in 1999, when they were driven from this spot and this destruction began. Well, we're back in the Jeep, and we're going over some rough roads here, heading into, yet again, another Serbian part here in northern Mitrovica. Passing through a KFOR checkpoint where there are 1, 2, 3, 4 tanks covered up with tarps. Tractors, tanks, Jeeps, they all share the road here.
You have some Mercedes, too.
Some what?
Some Mercedes, don't forget Mercedes.
Yes, and there's a Mercedes also. People often think of what they know about northern Mitrovica and what they've read is that it's a lawless area, that it's somehow in a no-man's land, that it's not really part of Serbia anymore, but it's not part of the new Kosovo. But I think that what we see here is something a little different, that there, in fact, is law and order in northern Mitrovica. Do you agree?
Yes. Mitrovica has crystallized the problem, Kosovo's problem. Because it's a multi-ethnic area, because you have a town is separated in two parts. So it's very hard. For people living here, they are Serbian, but they'll always be Serbian of Kosovo.
And now after that winding, bumpy Jeep ride, we're at the top of a hill overlooking Mitrovica and overlooking much of the countryside here. As you look around from this distance, across the rolling hillside, across even the town of Mitrovica, divided by that river, it's easy to forget that there was a war. The signs are not as apparent here. But there is one more scar here on this hillside. The story is that a French officer from the KFOR gathered bodies that were unidentified and brought them here to be buried in a multi-ethnic cemetery. It's surrounded by coils of barbed wire. And so this cemetery here on the top of this beautiful hill with the fresh air and the breeze is yet one more reminder that war has torn apart this area and that the scars will be here for a very, very long time. Our visit to the northern part of Mitrovica has come to an end, and we're about to cross the bridge again over the river Ibar. Here on the northern side, there's a stop sign and a single KFOR soldier. And he waves us on through. We're standing here on the bridge a very militarized area. It remains a lasting reminder that war is still a possibility here in southeastern Europe, even as we begin the 21st century. Standing on the bridge separating northern Mitrovica from southern Mitrovica, I'm Keith Porter for Common Ground.